Period shamed me.
Oh my god, we don't period shame on this channel.
I basically said that you look nice and I don't. That's not period shaming.
You didn't say that. You said you don't look like you're on your period.
As in you look put together, whereas I don't.
She period shamed me.
There's a crazy theory about why women supposedly sink their periods. Have I told you this before?
No, but I love the fact that women sink their periods. It's like one of my favourite things that we do. It's so witchy.
Not the true. Latest suggestion is not true, yeah.
Well, it's absolutely not true.
It's called the McClintock effect, isn't it? But we used to say this, Gori, when we lived together, when we were younger. We would be like, it's the McClintock.
It's a fun thing to theorise about when you're living with other women, but it's not true.
Why does it happen then?
It doesn't happen. It's just when it does happen, you put a lot of, you know, like, attention on it because it's happened.
You focus on it, yeah. Speaking with my friend who is a lesbian, and she said, well, I think it is a thing, because she said, I sync up with every woman I ever live with.
I do. I've always lived in shared houses with women.
But then she also believes in horoscopes. So, you know, swings and roundabouts.
Have there been many studies into it?
There's been.
Really?
Well, the original one was originally a scientist called McClintock. That's why it was called the McClintock effect. Since then, they've said they can't replicate it.
But I've been reading the funniest evo-psych theories about hormonal cycle, and that they try to explain why every action of a woman, they try to explain with evolutionary explanations. One of the theories about women syncing their periods, for a start, they don't.
I still feel that I do. Like, the period syncing, there's like physical evidence. And so many women.
Or experience, Naomi, you can't.
What? But hold on a second. Loads of women.
Gori's just explained, hasn't she? Like,
I don't know that is an explanation.
When it happens, but we don't notice it when it doesn't.
And anyway, it happens like every month.
Well, you need to go away, Naomi, and find some errors with the latest scientific studies, because you saying, yeah, it happens though, isn't going
to
be enough.
That's what I'm saying. Because, like, things that happen to women's bodies that are unique to women are often understood. We know that. So how comprehensive have the studies been into this?
Well, that is your homework, Naomi.
So there have been studies that have said, yes, these women are sinking. And there have been other studies that have said, no, they're not. And the scientific consensus has come to the general conclusion at this moment in time that there are more studies that say that it doesn't happen. Yet we have a lot of evidence that humans are susceptible to bias.
Oh, yeah. I want to know, what are they saying it's for? Can we get to the point?
It's quite funny. So everything goes back to caveman times, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, obviously the women were the gatherers at the caves all the time, looking after the babies, and the men were the ones that went out. And they would be syncing their periods. And sometimes the men would leave the cave for, like, a couple of weeks at a time. And what they'd be doing when they left their home cave, be visiting another cave to impregnate all of the women in the other cave at once. So therefore, it was beneficial for the women to sync their periods so that they could all get pregnant from that guy. And then the man could come back to his home cave.
So it basically, periods are so that cavemen can lead double lives.
Yes.
I mean, periods seek to serve men.
Yes.
That's great. We have nothing for ourselves, do we?
No, not even periods.
Fucking wombs.
So today we were going to talk about a few different things, weren't we? Basically, mainly, we want to talk about some recent criminal cases in the UK that have been hit in the headlines, because there's been some, you know, controversial public opinion around them, and we've just generally been discussing them. So we thought, well, let's just save it and stop, you know, shooting angst at each other across WhatsApp and save it for you guys. So
let me just go find this wire. Wait there a second.
One day, Naomi will be ready with the tech.
I'm not sure.
One day. I'm so glad I got my period. I can't wait for my boobs to go back down.
Said no one ever. Me all the time. All the time.
They hurt though. You're like, yours aren't like sore.
I have to carry them. I have to carry this around all the time. And honestly, it drives me mad. It's constant.
I do like having small boobs.
I want to be svelte and have small pert boobs. I want to be one of them girls that can wear an oversized t-shirt and no bra.
I'm like wearing pretty granny-ish underwear.
I bought you that Udi.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, same. I'm wearing a similar granny-ish.
Yeah, it's all about the comfort.
It's nice to wear old lady bras, isn't it?
Lovely. Took a 3-pack from 2 at Sainsbury's.
Minxie. My pants are dire.
Pants are dire.
Not diarrhea. Let's not mix that up.
but superior to pants will always be no pants. Just letting the earth flow through.
Like Naomi did when we used to live together and it used to upset me. You snail trailing all over the sofa when we lived together in Leeds.
You wish I was snail trailing.
I was appalled. I said, is there nothing between that labia and my sofa? Because I can't have this.
And I said, no, you are welcome.
You didn't even say that. I just heard you pull off the sofa. Yes.
What do you think to the whole, like, trans women shouldn't be allowed in shelters thing? Like, obviously, like, I would assume you'd disagree with that, but, like, why do you think people are so bothered about it?
That's quite a big topic. Gary's like, I know we've got a whole thing lined up, but guys, what do we think came first? Chicken or the egg?
I have opinions on it because of the work that I do, yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe another time.
I think if we're going to do that, we need to do it properly and it'd be an episode. So the first case we were going to discuss, is it Brianna Jai?
Brianna Jai.
Jai. I want to make sure I say this surname right because looking at it, my head just wants to go Brianna Gee. I read all 7 Harry Potter books and it was Hermione all the way through. It was quite the shock when people said Hermione. I was like, no, you're wrong.
Like you read a word for ages and then like you, when you hear it pronounced for the first time and somebody says it different to how you've read it in your brain for like years and years, you're like, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. Even though like they're right.
Yeah.
The brain is still going, no, that's wrong. Like for the longest like
Siobhan.
Time.
Siobhan is like Siobhan, isn't it?
Yeah. But for the last time, how far away are you? What was I going to say?
I'm out of here.
She's gone.
What we've all been up to.
I went on someone's podcast once and I like literally that was how she literally set the thing up. I think because she wanted to like set up a camera like next to the laptop with Zoom on it. But like I was not forewarned or anything that was how she was going to do it. She was sat like 5 meters away from the laptop.
Did you write that in a letter and throw me it?
The entire thing was incredibly awkward. Yeah, and then I was saying, when you've read a word in your head for so long and then you hear it pronounced out loud for the first time correctly after, like, years. Like, for the longest time, I thought the word pharmaceutical, like, I'd been saying pharmaceutical in my head. and if you watch my Tony Robbins videos, I actually say throughout pharmaceutical. And I still say it in my head, and I have to correct myself now.
Pharmaceutical.
Sorry, it comes out on my notes.
Are your cuticles your names?
Up until about, I would say 4 years ago, I always said 16 Chapel.
John the Baptist in the 16 Chapel. The first case that we were talking about was the case of Brianna Jai. Does anybody want to introduce that case?
The bare necessities of the case?
The simple bare necessities, if you would.
She was a 16-year-old trans girl?
15, I think. Yeah, I feel like she was 15.
I think she had quite a few followers on TikTok. She was murdered by 2 other kids, both 15-year-olds, one of them a boy, one of them a girl. Their identities have been hidden until the trial was over and they were sentenced, and then they made their identities public recently, and there's been a trial going on to decide how long they should go to prison for.
So girl X, whose name is Scarlett Jenkinson, and boy Y, whose name we now know to be Eddie Ratcliffe, they've both been convicted and sentenced. She has been given minimum 22 years.
Wow.
And he has been given minimum 20 years.
So that sounds like an adult conviction to me.
No, the judge actually, the judge explicitly said in her judgment that it's a high sentence for a child for their age because of the seriousness. The starting point would have been 10 years more for both of them.
Wow, really?
Had they been adults, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And she said to Scarlett, she's not sure she'll ever get out. It's possible. Criminal law in England is very much the younger you are, but specifically children, the focus is supposed to be more on rehabilitation than punitive. The girl had written up a kill list with the boy, the people they wanted to kill. Well, the girl got into her secure accommodation and wrote up another one of the staff in there.
No, she did not.
So they think the judge was like, yeah, I'm not sure you're going to be rehabilitated. I'm just not not sure that's on the cards for you.
Not sure you'll fit the public consumption, my love.
Yeah.
Probably the safest thing in here.
We're discussing whether or not it was a hate crime. It was not charged as a hate crime.
But wasn't it partially?
I think it was not charged as a hate crime, but it has been taken into account when sentencing Eddie Ratcliffe as an aggravating factor.
Is that not the same thing?
No.
That it's an aggravating factor?
No, because the crime was committed by both of them, wasn't it? She didn't show any sort of anti-trans. She just wanted to kill for the thrill of it. So during lockdown, she became obsessed with horror films and was watching them. Apparently she really liked Sweeney Todd, and I've seen Sweeney Todd. I didn't think it was that bad. But it got to the point where that wasn't enough, and then she started using a Tor browser. Gory, you say what an onion browser. You say what a Tor browser is, because you know better than I do.
I honestly don't know. I think you have to download the Tor browser to access the dark web.
Yeah, do you download a browser, or do you like, I wasn't sure about this, or whether you could just buy something.
You download a browser.
I don't know if it was something physical. Okay, so you literally just download it and then it's a separate browser.
Yeah, and I think it's something to do with IP addresses. It's like called an onion as well, because there are like layers to it, and it makes you look like you're somewhere else. So it can't be easily traced back to you.
Yeah, it makes you untraceable. Searching.
So yeah, you can use a VPN, which is what a lot of like scammers do to try and cover up their location. But police can still find you if you use a VPN. So what like advanced dark web people do is they use like similar to using a fuck ton of VPNs, like proxy to like proper like scramble up everything, so it's harder for the police to know.
During lockdown, we've moved on to using one of these Tor browsers to start browsing the dark web, which I didn't realize, but apparently it's far bigger than the legit mainstream web.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they said. It's crazy, isn't it? I had an ex who bought drugs off the dark web.
It's supposed to be better quality.
Really?
And you can you know, like if you buy stuff over here, you kind of don't necessarily know what you're getting. Someone turns up and they'll say, yeah, here's your bag of weed. You don't necessarily know what weed it is or what it's going to make you feel like. If you buy off the dark web, then there'll be explanations about what the thing does, and also dealers will be rated as well. You know, like how like you'll rate an Uber.
Yeah.
Right, but it's
that's
like
crazy.
That.
So there's more accountability as a drug dealer on the dark web. The irony. Yeah. The irony. This is why drugs should just be legal and regulated and taxable.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's a whole other conversation we could have, because I don't think all drugs should be legalized.
Do you not?
Oh, interesting. That is a conversation for another time, ladies.
Yeah, we know. But I do think every single drug should be legalized, regulated, taxed. Think how much money we could save if we taxed it and didn't have to criminalize the people who use drugs. And then we could use some of that money to support them and fund the NHS. So where were you? Oh, yeah. So she was going into red rooms, which I called that because they basically mean blood rooms, where you go and watch torture videos, real life videos of people being tortured.
Mm-hmm. It's probably like live streams, isn't it? And you can like jump in on the chat.
Did I tell you about someone talking about a woman? She had, I think I've told you guys about it before actually, but she really got into monkey videos and watching monkeys do fun things and be cute and adorable. And she found it really like, oh yeah, I love the monkeys. And then so she, like the algorithm starts suggesting more things. And then one day she gets suggested a video and it's just a monkey just getting slapped. And she's like, the fuck? And then she decided to go and investigate this, and then found there was a page on the dark web run by this guy, possibly in Indonesia, who would like get monkeys, and then people would write in and tell him what to do to them, like in terms of torturing them, and he would film that for them. The fucking things that you can find are so weird.
People do it with kids as well.
Well, yeah, they do it with kids. Do you know, I heard about a case recently. A local guy was charged, and he'd been accessing stuff, and they'd found him because they'd found him through his IP address and raided his home. But he had like downloaded images of a child being double penetrated by an adult.
Shut the fuck up. What the fuck?
Yeah, if you can imagine, it happens. And vaulting. And he had a daughter.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's awful.
Yeah, and so that child is somewhere. I doubt it's in Britain. I mean, it's unlikely. There was a documentary as well, wasn't it? Was it a Stacey Dooley one where they were looking at children being exploited?
Yeah,
their parents would be paid money.
Is this in Thailand where
it might have been
sex workers is quite rife?
I guess it's fueled by the people with money, provided by the vulnerable people who don't have money. I mean, oh, just awful. So yeah, it does happen. It does happen. So I dread to think how much of that is on the dark web, and you know.
There was a pretty notorious Australian paedophile who travelled to, I believe, Thailand to make one of these videos. Yeah, I won't say the name of the video or anything, but
no.
But apparently it's available on the dark web. But he originally was selling it for $10,000, and it's a prolonged torture video of a young girl, a 12-year-old girl, sexual torture.
God.
People would pay for this shit. They make money out of it.
So depressing.
A lot.
Mm. My threshold, whatever, for dark things has definitely decreased, I feel, since I've started doing the job that I'm doing. I think because I spend my days speaking to women who have been assaulted and reading about things and being angry with the police and stuff. When I come home, honestly, when I'm going through my newsfeed, I find myself just scrolling straight past anything that's difficult. Stuff that I actually am really interested in, the war in Gaza. I've stopped really reading about that because I just my brain's nope, don't have the capacity for
any more trauma.
Dark.
Yeah.
No more. No, thank you.
I've been doing dark jobs with dark, horrible subject matter for a long time, and I don't know that I ever lose my ability to consume it.
The Grim Reaper over here.
But then it's not because I like it, but I don't know.
I love it. I've just stopped reading things that get on the world that are difficult because I'm nope, no, thank you. So I don't know what the fuck's going on.
I got a bit like that after Brexit and then Trump, or was it the other way around? I can't remember. But after that, I was just a bit I fucking give up. Give up.
Oh, hi. It's a Brookie.
Ah, little baby.
Ginger baby. How's the ginger plant? That's Prince Harry, the cat.
He loves being scratched between the shoulder blades
Look
that.
Yes, more.
I'd love someone to come and scrap me. Any takers? Any takers?
Anybody? You still with that pretty boy? That guy, Charlie?
Oh, yeah, I'm kidding. Oh,
okay.
I'm kidding. But if anyone does want
but
to.
But if anyone is available.
Just for scratting, nothing sexual.
Scratting?
Just a nice one, a cat, a rub down.
Isn't it scrat? Isn't scrat pooing? Oh, no, that's scat.
Oh, I don't want
to scat.
But anyway, speaking of which, the dark web. God. Actually, no, scat isn't illegal, is it?
No, I don't know.
No, it's not.
Either. Yeah,
it's not.
Illegal.
Oh, I know.
It's pooed on then.
Oh, it's,
I mean, it's
so.
Gross, but, each to their own.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, it's not illegal. No, I remember because I have been approached by a scat guy before on a dating site.
Yeah, I remember you saying this. Oh, I remember you showed me his profile picture. Wasn't it a dirty toilet?
It was him with a toilet in the background. And I think my first thought was gross. Honestly, crop your picture. And then obviously I realized it was intentional.
Trying to get shit on.
I want you to shit on me. You look like my cup of tea.
Ew. I'd love to know the psychology behind that though, because it's not just about being dominated, is it? That's something else.
It's revolting.
Being shat on. I'd like to speak to someone who wanted that.
I'm not kink shaming. I'm pretty liberal sexually. All of nature and evolution and your natural biological response is stay away from shit. It's bad for you. So I don't know. But then, people fuck assholes.
But people have fetishes about things that aren't necessarily good for you. I mean, poo is just one of those things. A lot of women, they will watch rape fantasies. And that was something that I saw talked about a lot when I was investigating the manosphere. It was like, oh, clearly women want a powerful man because so many of them watch rape fantasies. I was reading about this. The real reason that a lot of women have rape fantasies is a lot more depressing. It's because in general women have been sort of socialized to be shamed about enjoying sex. So in the fantasy of being raped, you're not the one asking for anything because that's like shameful. If everything's like completely against your consent, then there's no like shame involved in you wanting sex.
So what, this is just like a theory, right?
Yeah, it's a theory. Okay. Yeah, you can't, it's a very hard thing to like survey, like why do you watch rape fantasies? Like that's a really difficult thing to survey. So yeah, it's yeah. it's a
I think that's I do think that's interesting, and I think there could be something to that. But the very definition of rape is that you don't consent. So if you are consenting, then it isn't really rape. A rape fantasy.
Yeah, that's what I don't fully understand about the rape fantasy thing. I feel like that's the wrong name.
I was thinking of like just watching porn of a woman being raped. Like not actually being raped, like pretending to be raped.
See,
like,
no, I don't think a lot of women would watch that. I think a lot of women would watch porn where they're being dominated and they're submissive.
I don't think most women watch something that looked like rape.
Yeah, not actual like rape. But like you were saying that the manosphere quote the fact that a lot of women want that, and I don't think a lot of women would want that. I think a lot of women would like sort of like power play BDSM stuff where it's consensual. But
the more extreme people in the manosphere are like, women want to be raped. They just like it.
Like, what did Tate say? Women deserve to be raped. I don't fucking know. Do you know what I mean? Like, we'll say anything. We've got statistics, like 42% of women love being raped. Like, things out their asses.
To reproduce, women's orgasm is totally not necessary. In some cultures, they even cut their clitoris off.
Yeah.
But then I thought about this a bit more, and I thought, well, actually, if we're focused solely on reproduction, and all we really need to do is put all the men in cages and just milk them when we need something. The rest of it we have covered. Do you know what I mean? If the end goal is just reproduction, why are we even worrying about, you know, a woman's orgasm, etc.? The reality is the woman comes with 99% of what's required. All we need is the seedling. And we could just keep the men in, you know, hard labor camps and then milk them as and when required.
Age them and milk them.
I'm pretty sure the manosphere thinks that that's what women actually want.
Because it is, okay? There, we've said it.
Yeah. And if you're thinking, all men, of course.
All men!
Every single one, all of them!
Every single one, okay, so milk them!
Milk them all! I mean, when they run arguments like that, that is what they sound like the other way round.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Literally
fucking ridiculous.
Insane. Yeah.
Anyway, as we were saying before we tangented off again.
Tangent Queens. That's what our podcast should be called.
What else about that case before we move on to the next case?
Well, I think it was quite poignant that today Rishi Sunak made a joke that he's now being asked to apologise for, especially because Rihanna's mum was in chambers, or she was supposed to be, but she was arrived like 15 minutes late, but she was supposed to be in chambers. Rishi Sunak was listing the things that the Labour Party have done a U-turn on under Keir Starmer. And he said, one of the things listed was, what defines a woman? And he said, but I guess that was only 99% of a U-turn, joking about the fact that Keir had said 99% of women don't have penises. So Rishi's been asked to apologise for that because he's using the trans argument as like, it's like a culture war thing. He's using it them as a punchbag, really.
One of the Tory peers, Tory donors, has left the Tory party, isn't supporting them anymore because he's a gay man, and he's saying that what the Tory party are doing is what was done to gay people before. And he said they have so little power in terms of, you know, their own strategy, their own absolute mess of a government, that they are trying to use hate for quick wins.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, who ever thought
I'm just
that?
Astounded that it would take him that long to, like, it would take this for a gay man to realise that the Tory party was not for him.
It's
like,
ridiculous.
Everything else is fine, but this, that's where I draw the line.
It bemuses me every day that people vote Tory. I cannot understand it.
Yeah.
I can't get my head around it. But I guess all it takes is David Cameron to come along in chinos and say, it's fine to be gay. I know we said kill them before, But it's fine now. So yeah, keep voting Tory.
Which Sunak is worth £730 million.
He's one of the people, isn't he? Man of the people.
His wife's worth more, isn't she?
Yeah, I think, is she a billionaire or from a billionaire family?
Billionaire family.
But I think he's worth that much through being married to her. Probably as well.
A lot through her, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they are disgusting. Great. So yeah, Keir called him out.
Yeah.
It's like, what a day to say it on when Brianna's mum is in chambers. Shame. Yeah. He said, and he is right. I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But also, it feels like neither party is really doing a great job to support trans people. So.
No, absolutely not. They're just a punching bag at the minute.
Yeah, massively. Yeah, massively.
Basically. Well, it's either trans people or immigrants, isn't it? You know. Mm.
I feel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Phil's coming.
Speak to Phil.
Yeah, she's like, you know, nobody's fed me today.
No,
it's not fucking true. She's a greedy bitch. She gets sometimes Violet will go downstairs and give her a meat in the morning, but she'll still come up to me and do the normal morning routine, like, I'm gonna get my second packet of meat. I'm gonna. And she's a bastard. Do you know what she does? She'll come up and lick my face, and she knows I hate it because she's
beautiful. Cute.
But no, it stinks. She's got stinky cat breath.
Cat breath.
She's got like sandpaper tongue, like, and she knows I don't like it, but she'll come and do it because she wants me to get that meat.
Oh, that's cute.
So she'll come and like sandpaper my face, and if I try and move through the way, she goes straight to the side table, finds a drink, and just hovers by it, waits a bit, looks at me like, come on then, bish, you know what's coming if you don't get up now. And if I don't, she just goes knocks a drink everywhere.
How much? How many packets does she have a day?
Well, she should be having three. But I think she's had four today, and she's still coming round me like, you know.
Yeah, cats are the same.
She does it to Adam as well, the lodger, and I'll be like, Adam, did you feed Pearl? And he was like, oh yeah, only because she was like going round a ball. And I'm like, we've had this conversation a million times. She's lying to you. She's got you around a tiny little furry paw.
They're so greedy.
And Pearl's so beautiful as well. And like, oh, I'm hungry. But look, I'm like, look at you, Pearl. I'm not fat shaming you.
She is beautiful.
But you are not underfed, love.
No, same with ours as well. They get like 3 to 4 wet packets a day, and it's more than they need. They're so small. Yeah. But like chunky.
Chunky.
Well, Pearl gets like half of a pouch a day. But like he'll like free feed himself dry food. That works really well.
Yeah.
Pearl won't eat the dry food.
She's a princess.
Yeah.
I don't think these two will either.
Yeah.
They're like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah. Nice joke.
It's good for their teeth.
Yeah.
And the instant there's any dairy, even fake dairy, do you know what? Like margarine.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Brooklyn will eat that as well. Like, yeah. if you give him some fake dairy, it's like, ooh, geez.
If I even like open the butter, can hear her like downstairs.
Yeah, it's that like fatty, oily taste, I think, in general, like all over it.
I mean, I get it. Yeah, but the thing is, Pearl doesn't know her limits, and if you give her too much, me neither. But I'll just get fat. Pearl will shit up the wall.
Yeah.
And she doesn't clean it up either.
No, and her shit stinks. Wow.
She is foul, isn't she? She's beautiful, but foul. Anyway,
I can't believe it comes out of her ass. It's mad. But she's so beautiful.
That's what I thought when
shocking.
I live with you.
The way it spreads.
Anyway, the other thing that's really nice about the case, actually, I mean, not nice, the way that the mothers of Brianna and Scarlett have been. So quite early on in the case, I think Brianna's mum told the public to not go for the parents of these children because they have lost children as well, which I thought was very grown and very, you know,
very compassionate. Wow.
Scarlett's mother, since the sentencing, has come out and just said she wants to apologize on behalf of the family. They're absolutely horrified and agree that the right sentence has been passed.
How interesting.
Yeah, they're just normal. Both of these kids come from perfectly normal middle class families.
That is interesting.
Yeah,
I do agree with the sentencing. Like, I was just kind of thinking before, like, what what threshold does it have to cross to be a hate crime? But I do like, I do agree that it, like, at least it was considered in the sentencing. And it, like, because I would have just been pissed off if it had been completely ignored, because I do think that it was at least an aggravating factor.
Definitely for him.
Yeah, but I also think that he probably would have killed anyone that she directed him to. Do you know what I mean?
Quite probably. Yeah. She was the lead on it. It happened because she had this desire for horror, this desire to kill, desire to see the person's reaction, to want to watch them scream and see their face.
And so that's what's made it so difficult to define as a hate crime. Like, if someone, like, you know, like that shooting, I don't remember that shooting in America where a man went into like a black church and just like shot it up.
Or
like,
the one where it was in the gay club. There was one in a gay club.
Yeah, the gay club. God, yeah, that was awful as well.
Yeah.
Like, those are like clear hate crimes motivated by the minoritized position. Whereas with this boy, it's not as clear. But I think because she is trans and because trans people are an at-risk minority, I think people were quite keen to define it as a hate crime. Straight away, it was like assumed it's a hate crime.
Yeah.
But also, like, I feel like a part of transphobia is like being fetishized in a way. And
yeah, definitely.
She was kind of being fetishized by her, which also kind of makes me think it's like kind of phobic in a way, if you know what I mean?
Maybe. But
I don't know, because she was obsessed with it, but was she obsessed with it because she was trans?
I don't know that there was evidence.
I would say
that.
Probably played into it, right?
Well, I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
Possibly, but that would be speculative. There was no evidence of that.
From what I can tell, she was obsessed with it, but I couldn't get a clear reason of what it was about her she was obsessed with.
And I think it wasn't a hate crime because they had a kill list of lots of different people and she was the only trans person, and actually they'd tried to kill somebody else before and it hadn't.
Yeah, but I don't think that's reason to believe it's not a hate crime, that in itself.
Well, I do, because they would have done it to anyone regardless of whether they were trans or not. So
yeah, like the people, like the one who shot up the gay club, the guy who shot up a black church, I don't think they would have gone and just killed anyone. They were trying specifically to kill those minoritized groups.
Yeah,
like I think that's the same for these two.
Yeah, I feel like that's what makes it different. Like if it had been a list of trans people,
yeah, then okay.
But I do agree that it's right that it was an aggravating factor because of the comments that he made in the run-up to it, which were just vile.
I just don't feel like it's relevant because if you had a list of people and you had different reasons for wanting to kill all of them, and you had one person on that list who was trans or part of any minority, and you and the reason for that person on the list was because they were of that minority, it would still be a hate crime.
Yeah,
that's the reason.
Yeah,
it wasn't distinguished. Again, that's speculative.
I know. I'm not saying like this case in particular. Like, I understand why this case was sentenced the way it was, but I'm just saying that there are my reasons for like there being a list not being relevant.
Yeah, and I do get what you're saying, Gori. I guess I mean I don't know, but I imagine that's quite rare. I think it is very rare. You know when serial killers? I mean, this is different to anyway. You know when serial killers kill people? It's very rare for it to be sporadic, for there to be no link. So for there to be a list where I just want to kill these people for a load of different reasons, that's quite, we don't really see that.
Well, I think the evidence dug down into their own motivations. And the main drive was her motivation to kill. And she didn't just want to kill a trans person. There was just a list of the people who happened to be in her periphery. And anything over and above that is speculative.
It is interesting that their names have been released.
They're 16 now, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So then their names will be released when they're 18 anyway. So it's only 2 years.
Yeah, but still, it's early. The judge said she made the decision due to a strong public interest in the full and unrestricted reporting of what is plainly an exceptional case. The shock generated by Brianna's murder and the circumstances of it has spread well beyond the local community, across the nation and indeed internationally, she said at the time. Continuing restrictions inhibits full and informed debate and restricts the full reporting of the case. The order would have expired in 2025 in any case, unless the pair successfully applied for a lifetime anonymity order, which is rarely granted by the courts. But the naming of child criminals is rare. Most children in England and Wales who are accused of a crime are dealt with in a youth court, where the anonymity is guaranteed.
And I suppose as well, it's like I said, if you look at any guidance around youth court and children, it's all about rehabilitation most of the time. So I suppose if you want to rehabilitate the chances are better if you don't identify them.
I don't know if I do agree with children being publicly named, even when they've done something terrible. And I don't understand her reasoning at all, because there would have still been debate if we'd been told they were 15 and 16 and they knew her. I don't see how knowing their names somehow fuels the debate at all. Their names are so completely irrelevant to me. She could be called Sarah Jackson.
I guess it kind of puts them as like real
humanizes
people.
Them, I guess. Does it fuel the debate? Because we can put a face and name to them?
Probably in
makes
a way.
It makes it easier to report on the case, because otherwise reporters, yes, if it's done very carefully, they, like they say, they have been named as girl X and boy Y. But in reality, anything made it like possible that they could have been identified would have been blocked and wouldn't have been able to come out in the media. So it will have restricted what could have come out. And also, I suppose, it, you know, now that we know who they are, we know that they come from well-respected families.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So it does reveal elements that wouldn't have been able to come out anyway. And she's taken into account the fact that their identities were going to come out soon anyway in law.
Because I guess they looked like normal kids, didn't they? So I guess the whole point is, like any normal kid could do this. Because I guess, like, maybe what people were picturing in their heads were, like, you know, crazy, like, messy hair. Like, I don't
know.
Yeah,
not middle-class white kids.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you think that, so their identities would have been revealed next year. I don't know. Do you think that kids, even when they do something terrible, should be tied to that?
Well, do you think that anybody, when they do something terrible, should be tied to that?
Well, yeah,
we want an open justice system, don't we? Because the difference between criminal law and family law is that family law is shrouded in secrecy. And in most cases, you can walk into any criminal court and go and watch the worst criminal trial, where the most intimate details about people's lives are revealed. But we need an open criminal system, don't we? Because otherwise, the reporting and media couldn't hold the justice system to account. You don't want a criminal justice system that only goes on behind closed doors in a democratic country.
Yeah, that's
true.
Yeah, that is very
true.
So
they make an exception for children. But in a case like this, I can see why it's important that it is one of those cases that would fall into, you know, a case where you don't want it to be.
I think it works when you just do it on a case-by-case basis, and it's probably just going to have to stay like that. I don't think you can make rules around these things, because there's so many different factors that come into crimes and crimes that are committed and how bad they are. So
surely you have to make rules around these things. That's what there are rules that we have to abide by.
And it's a general rule, which is mainly stuck to, but there can be exceptions. And this case, I do agree that it should be out. I do, yeah.
Because I agree.
It's so serious. It feeds into concerns, especially, you know, the trans community as well. It's important, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
At the minute.
I guess I feel that their identities should have been revealed next year when they were old enough or in accordance with the law.
But I guess everyone would have forgotten about it by then.
I'm not sure. But it wouldn't have caused the same ruckus.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it is interesting, because I had this like chat with somebody else as well. But we don't have an open system in family court, and all manner of, I mean, the equivalent of trials go on in family court. People can have, you won't get a criminal record, but you can have findings made against you in family court, which then become declarable, which are going to impact, you know, massive impacts, whether your kids can live with you, whether you can have kids, whether you can be around. Do you know what I mean? Just a lot of very serious decisions are made in family court, and that's all private. There is argument now that the family court should be opened up, and people should challenge the way that the system is run. It should be open to the media and open to blah, 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 but it's not. It's shrouded in secrecy. Right, lads, fellas, What do you know about this case? Gotonatron. Athon.
There was a man who immigrated to the UK from what country? Guinea-Bissau. He did a degree here. I think it was some kind of engineering degree. It seems that while he was here, he sort of started developing mental health issues. And he caused some trouble while he was at uni.
As a mature student. His mental health issues meant that he did strange things. Push into other people's rooms, push people's doors down. And...
I saw that he would look through people's windows or something. Just be a creep, basically. I think he'd been reported to the police a few times for these weird actions. And I believe he started a fight with a colleague at a warehouse after he was at uni.
But nothing had been done about the...
No, I think he was basically known to police and his mental health issues were known, but obviously he wasn't really treated very well.
Yeah, so he had the diagnosis of schizophrenia and he was treated for it for a long time. But when this all happened, he stopped engaging with mental health services and stopped taking his medication.
So in the past
it says the warning signs included numerous violent outbursts. He'd gone into MI5 and pled for them to arrest him, evaded authorities for months and left untreated for almost a year.
And that all led up to him getting a knife, and stabbing.
So three people died. I think he started by stabbing two students, Grace O'Malley and Barnaby Webster, who just look wonderful. I can remember, because this is local, I think I was in training actually in London at the time, but it was coming, all of it was coming out on the news and I was looking and they were showing different bits of central Nottingham and obviously I was thinking, God, I know those streets, those are the streets that I walk. And we knew that two people had been stabbed, that somebody else had been run over in Nottingham, so that he'd attempted to run over other people. And I think some of the other people have got life-changing injuries actually because of it.
Did he steal a van before running people over with it?
Yeah. So when it all came out, nobody really knew what it was. Initially, people thought it might be a terrorist attack because that just doesn't happen, does it? You don't get people. And obviously the fact that it happened at different locations around the city, you didn't know if it was one person or more. The first thing he did was, I think it was early hours of the morning, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, he just approached Barnaby Webster and started stabbing him and it stabbed him to death. And Grace O'Malley, I think the witness who saw it from a bedroom had said the girl could have run, but she didn't. She stayed to try and help the boy. And then she was stabbed to death as well. And they called police immediately. I actually think the next thing he did was try to break into a care home or a supported living accommodation.
He went up the window, didn't he?
Yeah,
they pushed him out.
They pushed him out, yeah. Jesus, what must be going through that person's head now? Because had he got in, so there is that footage. Then he goes a few streets away, and I think it's an older man in his maybe 50s, I think, called Ian Coates, who was a caretaker. He was getting out and going into his van to go to work, I think, for the day. And I think he stabbed him to death as well and took his van, used the van to try and run, I think, three different people over that he tried to run over. And there is footage that shows the attempt to do it. And then it was not long after that that the police collared him, tasered him. I have to say, it was quite impressive to watch the police do it. There's a video of that, so you can see he's basically in the van still got the weapon. Mm. And they just immediately got him. They were really quick, tasered him and got him out.
I guess in America they would be more cautious because he might have a gun, so they would
and he was black, he probably would have been shot.
Probably.
I know. Before he was it was revealed who he was, I was like, please don't be an immigrant, because you just know what narrative is going to run in the media and how it's going to be capitalized on. And of course it is. So he had disengaged from treatment. And I think I think that they didn't know where he was. And also he'd assaulted a police officer and there was a warrant outstanding for his arrest, but they hadn't found him and arrested him.
I guess if they really, really, really needed to find him, they would have found him.
The police are getting a lot of criticism thrown at them now. I think one of the parents has said that the chief constable of Nottingham has got blood on his hands.
Why? Because they didn't find him soon enough?
Yeah, because there was a warrant outstanding for his arrest.
But how many warrants are there out there outstanding for arrests? Probably thousands.
How many people with mental health issues have assaulted the police or exhibited some strange behaviour? but never could you predict that they would go on to do this.
I was going to say, people with mental health issues are far more likely statistically to hurt themselves than they are other people. This is rare.
I don't think there was anything in his behaviour that you could have seen this. It doesn't matter how many risk assessments you do. There has to be, like, you know, a sign. I mean, I think he might have been sectioned, but I think he's been sectioned before, actually. There has to be the evidence there. Otherwise, you can't just go around restricting everybody who's got mental health issues.
It does feel like as a society, we do fail people with mental health issues based on the number of people who are homeless who happen to have mental health issues, people in prison who happen to have mental health issues. I feel like maybe there need to be some changes around how we support people with mental health issues. I feel like there's something to be said about the fact that he was untreated for a year.
Yeah, certainly. You know? Absolutely. But then I wonder how many people are and don't go on to do that.
Yeah, and as well, the thing is, even if someone has mental health issues, you should treat them like an adult. If someone doesn't want to come in and take medication, should you then force them?
I mean, the legal test for sectioning somebody is that they have to pose, and you have to have evidence that they pose a significant risk to themselves or somebody else. And it can't just be a little risk. It has to be significant. So yeah, if you've been doing some like weird, like, you know, creepy things, or you've been a bit violent outbursts, aggression, whatever, but I mean, you get that a lot in mental health. There was no suggestion of this. I don't know. Anyway, so at the time it was horrendous in the news. Like, it was harrowing to watch. And I just look at those young students, and honestly, they just looked amazing. Like, the fact that she stayed to try and help her friend as well, like, it haunted me for a long time watching it. It really captivated Nottingham. Like, there was loads of vigils, loads of people in Nottingham and Nottingham University, and the students all got together to support the parents. And I can remember, actually, because I was in court the day that he went to his first hearing in court, albeit it was a completely different part of the court, but it was Nottingham, so it's the same court. He pled guilty to manslaughter on the grounds of diminished responsibility, which is a partial defence. So it's not a defence to murder, but it's a partial defence. If you meet the grounds for diminished responsibility, as per an expert psychiatrist, you can't be charged as murder. But it's still manslaughter.
So you get medical treatment instead of just going to prison.
It depends. I think we and Gori were discussing this. There's different orders available. But, I mean, with something as serious as this.
Yeah, I was reading some tabloid articles that came out after he got sentenced, and I think one of the big Daily Mail headline was, he might get released in 3 years, he's eligible for release in 3 years.
I mean,
it's not gonna happen.
Said, not a fucking chance, no way.
Just said you probably will never leave hospital.
It's like, what is the logic behind these, like, people who believe Daily Mail headlines like that?
Well, maybe because we've got a government that relies on anti-immigrant rhetoric and actually probably anti-judiciary rhetoric, because a lot of what the government want to do is being blocked by the judiciary. Thank God for a separation of powers. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Look at Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for the judiciary blocking them, they could have just gone and done that, couldn't they? And there's other things they've tried to do as well.
There's something that's interesting about when someone's tried as being mentally ill, people think that they're being let off, basically. But actually, if you are charged with a crime and you go to prison, you'll get a sentence. You're going to serve 20 years, you're going to serve 30 years, 40, whatever. Whereas if you are charged with diminished responsibility, you can be put away for, it's like an indefinite amount of time.
Forever. Yeah.
I think that people don't realise that. And I think it kind of, maybe I do think it's harsher, just like this indefinite sentence.
Yeah. But then, I mean, it has to rely on the fact that if they are still unwell, then they're going to go out and do it again. The risk there that has to be, and he was found to be very unwell.
Yeah, but then you don't have to be unwell to do a heinous crime, but you will still, if you're not mentally ill, you're still going to get a set amount of time. Whereas if you commit a crime and you are mentally ill, then it's just endless. I don't think I agree with.
It depends how serious it is, because those types of orders are only going to be for the people who commit the most serious crimes. A lot of the time, if it was not that serious offending, then it wouldn't be in the public interest to prosecute. You're only going to get orders like that for the most heinous, most serious crimes, where you cannot put those people back into I just think they wouldn't prosecute a lot of it in the first place. The Crown Prosecution Service, to prosecute in England, it has to meet both an evidential test, so they have to think that the evidence suggests there would be a reasonable prospect of conviction in court. But then in addition to that, it has to pass a public interest test. And if it's not a really serious crime, then you are not going to prosecute somebody who has such a serious mental health problem, because it wouldn't be in the public interest. So it's only really cases like this will go through the courts when they're really serious, in which case you do have to put people away.
Well, because actually, when someone's charged with a crime and mental health is taken into consideration as a factor, even when that person no longer poses as a threat to the public, it's still incredibly difficult, near impossible, for them to be free, to be fully free, in the way that a person is when they have a normal sentence. They're watched by the Home Office for the rest of their lives.
But I mean, with this guy, there's the added protection that if the Secretary of State doesn't agree, then he can't be released. But I feel like that's right. I'll be honest with you. This crime was so hideous and so heinous and so awful that I understand the absolutely palpable sense of disappointment that he is not being convicted for murder.
But it's just like,
I know it's not, I know, I know, well, I know, and I understand, and I'm not saying they've made the wrong decision. I think they've made the right decision, and it's in accordance with the law. I can understand the disappointment, because having, and I can't imagine what it will be for the families, but having seen that play out, and how horrifying it was to have that on your doorstep, and to think about what those people went through and what those victims went through, you want to know that there is justice, and it is disappointing when...
But has justice been served? Like, I feel like justice has been served. Like, he's still locked up.
It has, if you take... If you
it's just
take
the meaning
a
of a word,
if
right?
If you take a considered... Yeah, I get it, I do. But equally, I think there was so much momentum. It was so upsetting. It was so traumatic that people wanted him to be convicted for murder. And I understand that. I get it.
Yeah, I can't imagine what it's like to be in their shoes, the families of the victims and everything. But as not being very connected to the...
It just doesn't say
but not
murder.
For murder.
But he,
yeah.
Murder, it's just to me, to like not being connected to the case, to me, it's like a word. You know, he's still locked up. He's not going to hurt anyone. So
it's the same outcome.
It's a word.
But when I have to say, this case really got to me when it was all in the news and stuff. And I completely understand the law and I work in it and I get it. But when I heard that he had pled diminished responsibility, in my head, I was just a bit like, oh. I wanted him to be convicted of murder. And when I take a step back and I think about that rationally, I know that's not right, but I can sympathize and empathize with that gut feeling.
That's because the place as well. Like you said, you watched the videos, you saw the places, there's a connection there for you.
Yeah.
So I get that.
And it was frightening. Really, really frightening. To have this shocking thing happen. The press are playing a blame game, and the bereaved families are playing a blame game, which I can kind of understand because of the sheer level of grief that they're going through. But they're saying things like the chief constable of Nottingham has got blood on their hands because there was a warrant for his arrest and they didn't arrest him. But it's just totally irresponsible reporting, because the reality is, even if they had arrested him, it's not an imprisonable offence. He would have been bailed.
They would have just let him
straight back out. There was a warrant for his arrest and they didn't chase up on him and they didn't catch him. Probably because, I don't know, the public sector is overloaded. It's irresponsible to say there was a warrant outstanding for his arrest and then these people got murdered. As if he had been arrested, it would make any difference. Mm-hmm. I don't think it would have been. He would have been bailed and he would have been out again on the streets.
But people want someone to blame.
Yeah.
They want someone to be angry at.
If we had a better system, if it was a system whereby he would have been arrested and then he would have got treatment... Then maybe this could be reason to be, I don't know, upset then.
Well, that's where but it ought to be looked at, doesn't it?
1,000%. That's why people like talk about defunding the police. It's not about the police having less money. It's about putting more money into services that can support a wider range of people, because the police are not equipped to deal with full spectrum of people and to deal with the mentally ill.
There should be some system in place whereby if somebody has been arrested and there's a warrant outstanding for their arrest and they're on a treatment plan and they've previously been sectioned and they're not taking their medication, that steps are put in place to monitor that situation 100%. And risk assess it.
If someone had an addiction, then it just doesn't work like that.
There isn't that safeguard, and maybe that would be a good thing to come out of this. What is happening now is that they are scrutinising the CPS to see if the CPS did something wrong. But the reality is they had three different separate psychiatric expert reports done, and all of them came back, it's diminished responsibility. At which point, it's diminished. Do you know what I mean? You can't run a case. You cannot run a trial, regardless of how awful it is and how much the public want. You can't run a trial just because of how heinous something is, and ignore the guidance and the law. It's the guidance and the law that is exactly what the CPS have to adhere to. And they went on and got another psychiatric report just to try and see, has anybody said anything different? Can we get a different angle on this? Mm-hmm, and lo and behold, it came back and said exactly the same thing. What can you do at that point? So, you know, I know that the families wanted a murder conviction, and I get it. If you're absolutely in the midst of total and utter grief, but I cannot see.
I think it's just validation. It. Yeah, it's just validation for them as well, isn't it? To be told that he murdered them, even though it wouldn't affect his sentencing.
He believed that the voices were telling him that if he didn't do this, then his family would be hurt.
I honestly, I really feel for the families, but I also feel for people who have serious mental health issues. And to be schizophrenic and in a position where you are experiencing things that are not real must be terrifying.
So, yeah, I do get that.
It must just be awful.
When I did my training contract in law, I used to sometimes, I did mental health law for a little while. And one of the things I would do would go onto the mental health wards when people had been sectioned to do their sign-up papers to if they wanted to appeal, which, you know, mostly was just utterly pointless. Mm. But a necessary mechanism to stop people being put in mental health wards without any check or balance. Yeah. But I do remember going to one once where the man, he was going to go for a tribunal, an appeal of his section, but changed his mind and he told me about all the demons he was seeing.
Yeah.
And it was awful. Terrifying. Yeah. I said to him, that sounds absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
That must be terrifying. So he said, I do need to be here.
People want blood, and I understand because it is heinous, but people, I think, should try and be more compassionate. Or as a society, we do fail people with mental health issues, and we should try and understand it more, especially because, like I was saying, for someone with mental health issues to hurt someone else is rare compared to how often they hurt themselves. Mm. I once came across a woman who was being sectioned, and she was terrified to go to the hospital because she was certain that someone within the NHS was changing information on her files. And to speak to her, I knew that that wasn't happening, but to speak to people who are hearing things and seeing things, you can't tell them that it's not happening. It's as real as we are to each other now.
I know.
You know? And I think that when people are you should be charged with murder, I just
yeah.
I mean, it's hard, but we need to think about what he was going through as well, you know, as in this is not just a bad person. This is not just an evil man. This was someone who was seriously ill.
People don't understand how mental illness works. So this story made it pretty clear, especially looking at the comments on that YouTube video as well.
People don't try to understand people, it, especially schizophrenia.
Yeah.
That's so really people, it's people have this
misunderstood.
People have this vision in their heads of what mentally ill people are. They can't even speak English. They're just and then they just look crazy. So one of the comments was he called his brother before he stole the van, and he told his brother, oh, sorry, I'm about to murder some people, therefore he can't be crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was aware of what he was doing.
These people think that they're I don't know, psychiatrists now, psychologists. It's just...
I remember actually, like, one of my friends who was a solicitor who did the mental health work as well. I don't know if I can't remember if I ever told you this story. She went onto the ward once and there was this woman who was convinced that she had cancer, but they were hiding it from her and they wouldn't treat her, which must have been so, so frightening and awful. But she approached my friend on the ward. I don't know if my friend had been there to see her or another patient, and like tried to like, hand her a bit of poo. To sneak out of the ward to get tested for her. My friend said she was like, no, you just hold on to that. You just hold on to that. No, I do understand, but I don't, you hold on to that because, yeah, I mean,
just like a bare piece of poo, like not even in anything, yeah. Just a bare piece of poo.
Do you know, one of my favourite stories, and this is not with any malice towards people on mental health wards, but I just love the way she told me this, because she was actually like qualified solicitor that went in, so she started doing the actual tribunals. You know, when somebody would appeal their section. So even when somebody would appeal their section, even then it was obvious that they shouldn't. They had that right to appeal. So she would have to put together an argument for why they should no longer have their section. So she did this spiel, and she'd really tried, you know, and this and this and this and this and this. And then they went to the patient, because the patient attends, and they were like, is there anything that you want to add? And the patient was like, yes. Throughout the hearing, she'd been there drawing, and she'd drawn a picture of a donkey. So when they were like, is there anything that you'd like to add? After my friend has just really tried to do this proper, like, you know, legal spiel.
Like a sketch.
Yeah. And she was like, yes. And showed him.
Like a comedy sketch.
Yeah. And I think my friend was like, and everyone was like, that's really not. Oh, yes. Oh, that's a good picture. Yeah, I like that donkey. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, because my friend is very straight laced as well. Very professional, very serious about. And when she told me that, I just was like, that is wonderful. That is wonderful.
Yeah, so think about your friend who had to write up cases for people, even though she knew they're not going to get this. You know, someone who's clearly not well, still having to be like, and they should be released.
Yeah, but then
the defense is a picture of a donkey.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything that you want to add? Yes. Yes, there is.
Oh dear, popping.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, God. Oh,
poppy. Oh, dear. I've got other tales. We'll tell them one day. So we should go, because we've been doing this so long. But I feel like we have discussed some really interesting stuff.
Okay. All right. That's that for this episode.
Does anyone have any, finishing thoughts? Any words of wisdom? Any deep and insightful?
Just that. Just that, really.
Good teeth.
Fantastic.
Yeah, there's no nose, but there's teeth. Okay, no really tail either.